I love the subject of black elk, and he gets quoted liberally in your book. Talk about him.
Well, certainly a powerful figure for me, and he was an Oglala Sioux, and he was born in, I guess, 1863. And when he was a young boy already, now, you know, we had that treaty of 1868, so-called Fort Laramie Treaty, when we agreed that we would not, the soldiers would take the fort down, disassemble it, so forth. We had already made inroads out there. And then a couple of years later, gold was found in the Black Hills, which were the sacred lands for those people. And, of course, that treaty was abrogated. So Black Elk is born, you know, during the time of the great, you know, Plains Indian Wars. He's born in a turbulent time when, you know, this and the Sioux, of course, were one of the last tribes to be put on reservation, to be, you know, conquered, assimilated, whatever you want to call it. So he's born in 1863, and he's one of those people that when you read the literature of shamanism, you know, the what we would call medicine man or medicine woman, the person who is the spiritual advisor to these tribal units, and this is all over the world, when they're young, they have strange experiences. And he was already having experiences where he was seeing things that weren't physically there. He was having, he was talking to the elements and having visions and so forth, little experiences that were sort of nudging him in the direction of the other world, the spirit world, I guess you would call it. And then when he was 9 years old, he had this, what the anthropologist, I guess, would call the shaman crisis, where he basically went just totally inward. I mean, he was physically sick. He was, his body kind of blew up, and his parents thought he was dying, and he's in a coma for days. And basically when this happens, and this is the typical shaman story, he feels himself lifting out of his body. It's an experience of ecstasy, what the Greeks called ecstasy, because the word ekstasis means to be out of yourself or out of your body. And he sees himself going up into the heavens, and he's actually taken to the Rainbow Lodge, the Sky Lodge, where he has this interesting session with the six powers of the universe. You know, he sees them as old men. He sees them as grandfathers. And he has this great vision that's described in the book Black Elk Speaks, which was written by John Neihardt, the Nebraskan poet. And the vision is a great vision. You have to read it in the book to really get the flavor of it. But the central part of the vision, really, that Campbell always liked to come back to, is that point where in the vision, he sees himself taken to the central mountain of the world, which to the Sioux Indians there was what we named Harney Peak after General Harney, a great Indian killer. I guess there's an irony there. But
yeah, really.
Harney Peak in South Dakota. And he said, I saw myself standing on the central mountain of the world, and round about beneath me was the whole hoop of the world. And he has this vision of harmony and unity, of what he calls, they didn't call it the circle, he called it the hoop. And, you know, all the hoops together and living as one. And the interesting thing, that Campbell loved to come back to this, is the fact that at that point in the story, when he's telling Neihardt this, he takes, you know, he gives it like a sidebar, and he says to Neihardt, but anywhere is the center of the world. So, you know, this comes back to the whole question of how we interpret these things, because if anywhere is the center, then where you and I are is the center as well. So you don't have to go to the central mountain in South Dakota. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't. In other words, the center is everywhere. It's always available. And that's the way these people understood it. You know, I mean, there's this wise Pueblo Indian teacher down in New Mexico. I think his name is Larry Littlebird. And he talks about this, too. This is just the way that they're taught. And, you know, he was taught by his elders that, you know, when the earth is sick and out of balance and people are ill, that's the time to start over. He says, you know, there was nothing like a doomsday. Life is endless, and the world is so vast, there are always many possibilities, and they're right in front of you. And he talks about when he was a kid, and he was being taught by his elders, that he would just sort of show up. and there was no set time and there was no set program. And he would just have this experience of timelessness, of getting absorbed in something. And, you know, you were talking before about how this arrow, you know, points us in a certain direction and it sort of governs our life. And we don't have this experience anymore. It's very hard for us to get, to enjoy this experience of being in the center and of experiencing not this moment, not that moment, but no moments. And that's what being in the center is all about, is experiencing that which is eternal, which, as Campbell points out, is not a long time, but is totally outside of time.
I wonder how many psychologists have worked with successfully getting people who are anxious, people who are depressed, off of a linear concept of time and into a more ancient cyclical one. Is anybody doing work like that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the field of psychology. I would imagine that there are. This person that I was talking about, I don't know about psychologists, but this person, Larry Littlebird, that I was talking about, I just came across him, and he has some kind of center down in New Mexico, I think it is, where people come and they relearn sort of how to get moments of bliss, if you will, about being, you know, it's out in the wilderness and
storytelling. The whole sweat lodge thing.
I don't think it's a sweat lodge thing.
But I think there's a lot of people do that for that reason. They're trying to get off of a linear concept of time into something more transcendent.
Well, if you want to do that, go down to the Monroe Institute in Virginia. That's where I went. They took my watch away for a week, and you listen to some sounds that come out of a set of headphones, and it puts you in some timeless moments, and it's a heck of an experience. So I think there are ways of getting in touch with that, and you don't have to go anywhere. I think, like Black Elk said, I mean, I think we all have experiences of this when we were kids. I know I did. When you become so absorbed in something that you forget the passage of time. I mean, have you ever been so interested in what you're doing that
right.
you don't realize that an hour's passed, or that, you know, I'm late for an appointment or whatever it
right.
is? That
literally happens to me all the time on Coast to Coast.
Well,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, that is. I mean, you know, that is a moment of eternity, because eternity means that time is exploded. So it's a kind of, you could think of it like an hors d'oeuvre of eternity. Now, maybe it's not a big mystical experience, but it's what the psychologist Maslow would call a peak experience. And that peak experience is a kind of like mini mystical experience.